I zipped around for hours and hours, pollinating lots of flowers. I'm a busy, buzzy, busy, buzzing bee.
Get on to Johnny Rell.
On Hungry for Sport, John Rell for Supergroups. Kubota Excavator Finance Deals on now.
And the Buzz has joined us, Buzz, and you want to talk about TradeBait.
I do. Hello, Sandra. June 18, it's taken you. Come in, Sandra Sully, with the late news to realise that Patrick Dangerfield might leave the Adelaide Football Club. It's just dawned on you, has it? It's just, you know, someone just finally just giving you a little heads up and, oh, gee, he might be gone.
I love this SMS says that when the Cats go over there to play, and they're playing on round 14, which is July the 5th, that on July the 5th, Dangerfield's coming back with the Cats. He hops on the plane and comes back with them.
I listened to you talking about him with Roach and also with the Venomous One. Look, I don't believe that you should be able to say, I'm leaving this football club at the start of the year or sign on with another club. What if Patrick Dangerfield, though, had said, guys, I'm probably going to go home. You know, I'm really homesick. I haven't signed anything. I won't sign anything. Because right now we've got quite a charade, haven't we? Well, it's not a hobby for me. I haven't made up a decision. If he hasn't made up a decision by June 18, well, we all know what the decision might be. So how do you think Adelaide fans would respond to that? If he said, guys, you know what? I'm 85% chance going home.
Well, if I was a supporter, I would respond to it okay, because I would still just hope that he plays great football. Mm-hmm. We've got a season to play. He's a contracted player under that season. And hopefully that we can win games, play finals, and who knows, maybe even win a grand final. And if he goes, as we know in football, you know, there's always, the list is always being turned
it's
over.
It's always fluid, isn't it?
Yep. There'll always be another Patrick Dangerfield. There'll always be, you know, another Buddy Franklin. There'll always be another Chris Judd. You know, there'll always be another Gary Ablett. I mean, 12 months ago, Gary Ablett was the greatest player we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Now everyone says Nathan Fyfe is the greatest player we've ever seen.
Yep.
Before that, Chris Judd was the greatest player we've ever seen. So there's players coming all the time. That's one of the great things about Australian rules football. It doesn't matter what era you're in, there's new champions coming in all the time. You know, young players coming in, they become the heroes and the stars of the game, and the old ones go out and another bunch comes in. So I think you just accept it and say, okay, they're professional footballers. Look, he said it's not his hobby, you know, so it's not a hobby. It's my livelihood for starters.
Yep.
So therefore, my livelihood is important to me, and therefore family members are important, where I live is important, my whole lifestyle is important. He's going. There's no doubt in my mind he's going. But if I was a supporter, I could accept it.
And I think
could you? 9-4-2-9-11-16.
I think the only caveat, the only asterisk, is that he needs to be playing great football in that final year if he says what we think he should be saying. And I think he has been. He's had great statistics. Might have lost that battle against Fife, you know, 50.1 to 49.9. But as Gary Ablett did in his final year, as Buddy Franklin did in his final
great
year,
footy.
They held up their end of the bargain. So, yeah, my topic, though, yeah, we're talking about...
Who's TradeBait?
Yes, Aaron Black might be on his way to Fremantle. Who's on your list that it might be playing or might be in the VFL that you think, oh, I reckon we could get a nice second-round pick for him? So, I don't know who it might be from. Might be Liam McBean. You might think, look, he's never going to get into this Richmond side. It might be Chris Yaron, who, of course, is a very good player who you would only give up for pick 10. So, who's the trade bait and what would you give up for them? It might be that you love a Carlisle, but you might be ready to get rid of him if it's a top 10 pick, but not for pick 20. So, give us your prognostications on that.
I'd like to also hear from Carlton fans on that too, because Stephen Trigg said yesterday that Carlton fans don't want a quick fix at Carlton. So I don't know whether they've surveyed the Carlton fans, but he said Carlton fans don't want a quick fix. So you can give us a call on that if you like, 9-4-2-9-11-16. He said it's going to be a measured build. Now, the question would be, how long is that measured build? And on the back of that, we're told today that the senior players are safe at Carlton. So that's good. Senior players are safe. So Murphy and the likes of Gibbs is there, and Carrazzo and Simpson, they're all safe. But they also tell us in the story that their salary cap is full. So how does Carlton, you know, improve? Just through, you know, Stephen Silvani with a few draft picks? Because obviously they're keeping all their senior players. They said they're not doing what St Kilda did, throwing out some of those big names like Del Santo and Goddard and McAvoy. So it'd be interesting to hear from Carlton fans on that. Are they prepared for the long haul and the long wait?
Well, Chris Pelchin at Hawthorn and then at St Kilda had a very similar problem. A lot of ageing players who weren't going to be in the next flag, a very high salary cap bill for a very poor side. and he stripped both of those clubs back to the bone. And what has happened? Hawthorn won the flags. St Kilda, we believe, is on the right track. So you'd have to say they're doing it a very different way from what Chris would have advocated. It stuns me that the salary cap is full, especially given that Warnock will basically, if he plays, will be on minimum chips. That Chris Judd will leave. He would have been on 500. That Carrazzo might have been, I don't know, 354. If he plays on, it'll be on minimum chips again. Who are they paying that money to? Because they might have thought, well, we'll have to pay money for Matty Cruiser, but...
Well, Daisy Thomas is getting, we've been told by reading the papers, about $700,000.
$750,000.
Robert Warnock, I think, was a high-priced
player. $400,000, $420,000. No, look, I agree. Maybe they factored in price increases for Gibbs and for Murphy. Maybe they back-ended some of those situations. Look, I've written before that Steve Silvani's got a massive job ahead of him. If I'm a Carlton fan, I'm prepared to cop 2 wooden spoon years. So I don't cop 7 or 8 years of mediocrity. But I sort of get the feeling that if they're not going to trade out any of those players, how do you get those extra picks? Because if you just get pick one, then that's effectively all you get extra, because then you're alternating 17, 18, 35, 36. You can't rise up the ladder if you only get one extra pick and you're not prepared to be bold.
Who's your trade bait? 9429 1116. Jason joins us out on the road. G'day, Jason.
Heard anything about any truth of Patrick Dangerfield going for the Saints, or the Saints making a big play for him?
Well, they had a bit of money floating around. They were keen.
Rory Sloane, told us, was signed and sealed by St Kilda. In fact, he was the next captain of St Kilda.
What percentage did he assign to that?
99.9%.
Well, sometimes the 0.1 comes up. Look, they were certainly keen on him. He was a St Kilda boy. In fact, he was an Upway boy who loved St Kilda. They thought he might come back. That was never going to happen. Look, Dangerfield will go to Geelong and nowhere else. A lot of people have said, look, would he go to Collingwood? $1.4 million. I've spoken to people at Collingwood. They said, look, we will never bring anyone in over our leading player in Penderbury. What would Penderbury on? 800, 900? So there's no way that they would ever bring in anyone more than $1 million. And you know what? Barmy is at Collingwood. He probably knows that Geelong's already got the signature.
Well, he's a miserable old person too, isn't he, Barmy? He wouldn't give him any dollars whatsoever.
No, he's miserly, he's stingy, he's tight, he's all those kind of things. So put all of the other 16 clubs out of it. It's Geelong or Adelaide, and we all believe it's Geelong.
Jason, thanks for that. So looks like St Kilda's got no chance.
But they've got cash. They have got
off
cash.
Off the radar is Collingwood as well.
So they've got cash for someone.
Only Geelong.
No, what would they think? Look, I saw the miserly one, the vicious one, Greg Denham, say that maybe Jeremy Howe might go north. Would they want Jeremy Howe as a third tall forward? Would they? Who else is out there? Look, you never know. Amit Baines might be listening to you throwing up the trade bait, and he might just think, I've got some cash. Who can I spend it on?
Who's your All-Australian lock this year? I know a lot of people see Rowan Connolly's put out his All-Australian side at the halfway part of the season. The selectors haven't met yet, but next week they will meet for the first time. Have you got some All-Australian locks out there, 9429 1116?
Tom McDonald is my defensive lock. I think he's been fantastic. Alex Rance is in there somewhere as well. I don't know if he's a back pocket. He probably hasn't played at centre-half back, Kevin, and we've had this debate before.
Put him in the back pocket if that was the case.
Well, he's played in defence. So
there's no positions down back or forward, or in fact, anywhere on the ground.
Well, I would say that you could put Alex anywhere in the back six because he's played anywhere there. All I'm saying last week is that Pavlich had never played a fullback. So anyway, he's my lock. I think Alex Rance gets in there as well. Jamie Elliott's a very good one. Who's the small forward? So Elliott's up for grabs. Now, who's your back pocket? I spoke to Jed Buse yesterday, and he's certainly not the back pocket. But who's your? Has it been Nick Smith? Has it been...
Well, coming off
Nick Blaston's had a very good last 10 weeks.
MS machine. Corey Enright gets a lot of ticks from those just talking about Corey Enright's fantastic season that he's had so far. Been all Australian on about five occasions as well.
He has. And my other
played well last week, and this week plays his 300th game too. So congratulations and well done when he runs out.
So my problem is the All-Australian sometimes tends to be tried and true and all the guys that have been in it before and sometimes on reputation. Who are the most...
Never on reputation.
Who are the blokes who have improved the most? Because I'm more interested in that. There's some guys here that might be the 40th best player, but they were the 200th best player. 10 weeks ago. I'll give you a couple of my most improved. I think Cripps has been amazing. I think Flaston's been great. I think Gaffer's been fantastic after a second-year Blues. Jeremy McGovern, Travis Collier, Mark Blitzav. So who's your side's most improved player? Who do you really see having jumped out of the ground in the last 10 weeks?
Okay, 9429116 if you want to send through an SMS, 0433981116 if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29. And of course, the buzz has joined us, and we're taking your calls, 9429116. Some of the SMSs, Heath Shaw must be in the mix, has had a very strong season so far, says Brian in Venus Bay. Dylan Scheel is a lock, says Guy in Carnegie. That's the young star from the Giants. He's a lock. Just signed on too, hasn't he?
He has, and I thought he was best on, despite a lot of people smashing me over that. I see Rowan's. I like Rowan's team because it's great to throw things up, and it's a good discussion point. I don't know how he's got Jeremy Cameron in the forward pocket, though. I watched Jeremy Cameron get smashed by Nathan Brown on the weekend. I think the great McCarthy has clearly been better than in him in a lot of games. How many tall forwards has he got there? Franklin, Kennedy, Cameron. So he's his third best. No, I wouldn't. I mean, no, that doesn't ring true to me at all. I probably have... Sandlin's been good, hasn't he? You've probably got to have him ahead of Goldstein. Gaff on the interchange bench. It's hard, isn't it? Because Gaff's never been tagged this year. He just runs up and down the wing. He's had...
He's a genuine wingman, though.
No,
so when we say there's no positions anymore, if you'd have to... I mean, there's the ruck. You've got Sandlands. He plays in the ruck because he goes for all the tap-outs. But you'd have to say that... Gaff is, if you're looking at some person who plays a specific role, you'd have to say he's...
You just told us there's no positions.
Well, I just said apart from... He is a genuine person who plays out on the wing, isn't he?
No, he is. But I think that if you're looking at...
Up and down the boundary line.
If you're looking at an All-Australian team...
More kicks on the boundary line than any person in the history of the game.
He has, hasn't he? If you're looking at an All-Australian team, you've got 7 or 8 great midfielders in there. I don't think Gaff is in there. So, so this team's got Goldstein in the ruck. It's got Sandlands, Mitchell, Parker and Gaff on the interchange. Look, I think Gaff's had a great year. He's had a ripper month. I'm just not sure he's in the All-Australian team. But again, it's just conjecture. So, yeah, good reading there from Rowan.
Let's see what the fans think. Michael's on the road. G'day, Michael.
Oh, g'day, boys. How we going?
Excellent.
Big Cornwall fan. I think Frost and Marty Williams has been fantastic. But I have to also say sorry to a player who... I thought was only in there because Reed couldn't get in, but I think Nathan Brown's been amazing. I think he's only been in once this year. I think Dixon kicked 5 on him, but Sunday he was fantastic. He's been amazing.
Well, I reckon he'd had 2 really good grand finals, both of them on Nick Riewoldt, and I thought to myself, he's a very serviceable player. But I hadn't seen him shut blokes down before. I'd seen a lot of goals kicked on him. But look, it's a very good call. He has been amazing this year.
Getting a lot of nominations too, Michael, from Collingwood fans. So they're
I'm not sure he's in the All-Australian
team,
mind you.
Well, they're very bullish about him. If you're looking at backman, they think Nathan Brown has had a sensational year.
Well, he's certainly in my most improved list.
Okay, so he's one of the most improved players.
Yes, but he's not in the All-Australian team.
So we're looking for All-Australian locks and also most improved players.
Yes, and trade bait.
Okay, Michael in Spotswood can help us out with the most improved. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, boys. 2 nominations, most improved from my club. 1 verging on All-Australian, David Armitage. The numbers speak for themselves. In a game where he had a poor standard by this season's numbers, he still managed 8 tackles. And Jack Nunes, 11 games this season, and there's 1%ers have been unbelievable, really taking advantage of the opportunity given.
Yeah, Armitage last week was probably down on his best form in the game against Melbourne last week. Bernie Vince lowered his colours. Bernie Vince, now there's another one who's had a cracking season that not too many people have mentioned. But Bernie Vince, he's played that tagging role, but he's actually got a lot of possessions. I think he had another 34 last week.
He's the new age tagger. We're even seeing Ed Curnow is statistically the best tagger in the competition this year. But Ed Curnow's had something like 25 possessions in the last month. So you're right. These guys like Vince and Curnow, they're not the old-fashioned scraggers who got 8 possessions and kept their player to 18. They've been fantastic. Look at St Kilda people. They're calling in. They're excited. They're thinking, you know what? We won't win the flag, but we've regenerated quickly. And that's my point from before about Carlton. If you be aggressive, fans are prepared to cop a couple of years on the bottom because they know that bell curve will come up pretty quickly.
The All-Australian side, Michael in Point Cook, says, is a joke. The Brownlow medalists didn't make it last year. That was Prittis, of course. Prittis, of course, also... for Michael, didn't win his club's best and fairest last year. And there's been others who have won the Brownlow medal in the past who sometimes haven't come in the first 5 or the first 7 when it comes to their best and fairest. Colin's on the road. G'day, Cole.
Morning, Kev, Ralphie.
G'day.
A couple at my club, Kev. might come as a bit of a surprise, actually, is Jack Zeeble. Last year, based on the coach's award, he only polled in one game, but this year, in the absence of Nicky Dowell and Daniel Wells, I think he's held the midfield together unbelievably well, so he's improved out of sight. Also, Robbie Tarrant hasn't had goals kicked on him this year in the sense of a bag, so he's been enormous just through continuity of footy, I think, so it's good to see it.
So he's a most improved player because he hardly played last year, I think, from memory, with Robbie Tarrant.
Had a lot of injuries.
Jack Siebel's interesting because he polarises people. Some people say that he's a star or just about a star and can take the next step. And just recently people saying, well, he should be the captain of North Melbourne right now, when, you know, instead of Swallow for whatever reason. Others say, well, he never dominates, he never gets too many, you know, the big possessions. He doesn't get 34 possessions week after week after week like some of the other crack midfielders do. Some say, well, is he a player who should spend more time on the forward line as a, you know, as a Michael Voss type, you know, later in his career, or Brad Johnson, where, you know, he's strong and takes a mark and kicks a goal. You know, he gets bashed around a lot in the midfield. Does it knock him around? So he's an interesting player, Zeeble. People have different opinions on him.
I've come to the grips with the fact that he's never going to win 28 possessions a game. But what I love about him is that he stands up in the big moments. You can think of those big moments this year in games where someone has needed a lift for North Melbourne. I think that's often been Zeeble. He's kicked 6 goals this year. So, you know, in your mind's eye, you think, oh, geez, he's gone forward at times and kicked the important goals. But they've been very rare. So
it's half a goal a game.
It is, so it's not enough. So sometimes your perception of a player, when you actually look at the stats, that actually don't marry up. I love the big moments. Needs more goals.
But do they play him in the position that is going to best suit the side? Because North Melbourne's struggling at the moment. They're struggling at the moment. I mean, you know,
They need North, line breakers, and I reckon he's been one of those in the last few
They're 12th
weeks.
At the moment, North Melbourne. They're 5 and 6 at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I still recall watching Zeeble play in a game down in Tassie. Might have been against West Coast, I'm just trying to remember, but it was down in Tassie. And for some reason, during the course of the game, they put him forward. Now, he kicked 5 goals in that game. Took good, strong marks, beautiful kick. And I just wonder sometimes whether or not his best asset for North Melbourne would be as that hard-to-match-up forward. You know, they rely a lot on Petrie. They rely a lot on Ben Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes their third forward, whoever that's going to be. Sometimes it's Wade. Sometimes it might be a Mason Wood. But is Zeeble an X factor for him as a forward player who may go into the midfield on occasions, but he's that forward player who's hard to match up on? Strong overhead, very powerful at the ball, very good kick and a strong mark.
Well, he kicked 4. That was the game. 4 down at Blundstone against Adelaide last year. And while Patrick Dangerfield and Sloan, I thought, struggled in that last quarter, himself and Swallow in the last 10 minutes were just immense. So maybe that's where you get the perception that he's a goal kicker. You're right. Maybe he needs to do more of that. Maybe if Del Santo and Wells come back into that side, he can push forward more. Kicked 18 last year, which was okay. As I say, he's 6'8".
But he kicked 18 last year, but he... He's kicked those goals without really being in that role.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
You know, he might be a 60% or 65% forward line player, and the other 35%, you know, he plays in the midfield.
Yeah, if you mind.
I'm only just thinking what's best for North Melbourne.
Yeah.
What can make them a better side that can maybe help North Melbourne make the finals?
A lot of people too are saying, oh, well, GWS, they're ravaged, their key defenders are down. Well, North Melbourne don't just run over the top of them. Waite and Petrie and Brown all need to fire. If you haven't got great matchups, you need to dominate those matchups. So they're 5 and 6, as you say. They're 14th on the ladder. Those boys need to fire because I'm not sure that forward line has worked cohesively together. Look, they've all had individual day outs. Time for those 3 to lift.
Of course, the Buzz is always brought to you by Unifor Food Service. Of course, if you run a business, you're looking for the solution for your corporate catering needs, you look no further than Unifor because they can bring you the complete service range of coffee and tea, fresh milk, biscuits, chips and nuts, and also never forget about their extensive range of beers and wines from their cellar. Whether it's the canteen or the boardroom, Unifor Food Service has the solution for you and it's delivered straight to your door. Give them a buzz on 9371 3555, 9371 3555. 22 minutes to midday and the Buzz, Johnny Ralph, has joined us and he'll be coming up with his 3 stings as well. So if you've got a sting for somebody, give us a buzz, 9429 1116, and see if it matches up with the Buzz. Pete joins us in Arden Street. G'day, Pete.
G'day, gentlemen. And Kevin, you are a very, very wise man.
He's a wise man.
Is there a butt coming here, Peter?
No, there's no buts, Kevin. I'm gonna very quickly, I'll give you six names at Arden Street, and you already touched on one. Zeebel, definitely a permanent forward, maybe even full forward. That means that Drew Petrie goes to centre-half back, because if he had a played on Franklin last week, we would have knocked Sydney over.
Well, he's pretty good when he went back for that 5 minutes in that game against, was it Geelong, was it?
Yes, it was.
He took all those amazing marks. I reckon
I might
have trialled him there again.
He's not a forward anymore. He just doesn't have it. He's not kicking goals, and we need someone down there who can kick goals.
Just on that, Pete, I know you've got some other names there. I mentioned before about Jack Zeebel, whether or not he gets enough possessions in the midfield, or is, you know, super quick. He's not super quick, as we know, but I think he's a very, very good player. What sort of numbers has he got this year?
I think he must have been injured and had one possession in one game, but he's been like, he's had a 29, a 27, a 24, and the rest of them are 16, 20, 20, 16, 20. So he's not a prolific ball getter, but as I say, he makes his possessions count.
But you like him, Pete, as a forward?
Oh, yeah, very strong. He doesn't have the tank to be a midfielder, and he's just a bit too slow.
Now, Pete, can I give you your draw? Because every person out there that is a North Melbourne supporter is saying to me, oh, we're going to win 9 of the next 11. It's just so easy. I reckon when you're 5-6, you don't deserve to be talked about in that category. But I've got GWS, Gold Coast, Geelong, Essendon, Brisbane, Carlton, Melbourne, St Kilda, Fremantle, Western Bulldogs, Richmond. Well, I still see some challenging games. Well, now, when you're finishing with Fremantle, Western Bulldogs, Richmond, that's still a
tough let's say they beat the Giants and the Gold Coast. The Cats is a question mark. The
Cats Bombers, will be back from injury by then.
Bombers, yes, I can see them beating the Bombers. Beat the Lions, Carlton, Melbourne, St Kilda. Fremantle, no. Western Bulldogs, question mark. Richmond, question mark.
So there's no doubt that he's an easier draw than some, but for some to say, oh, we're going to win 10 of 11 or 9 of 11, it's just easy, top four. Yeah, you haven't done that much early in the season for us to actually believe that that's a chance.
You got some trades, Pete?
Yeah, I have. And what you say, boys, it doesn't make any difference. We cannot match it against Hawthorn and Sydney and Freo at the moment. But anyway, now my most improved. I saw him at the Bulldogs, Kevin and Ralphie, but he never really did much for me. But I tell you what, Sean Higgins is outstanding. He is such a talented player, and I'm glad he's at Arden Street.
I think he's been a surprise packet.
He has. Yep. Look, he missed a shot at goal, as did Waite, in that North Melbourne game, which was regrettable, but he kicked a big goal a week before. Mate, he's been a goal kicker. He's been a lot of possession. He's been a ripper.
Thanks, Pete. Mark's in Frankston. G'day, Mark.
Boys, how you going?
Mark, you got a most improved for us?
I got a most improved, Kevin. Look, he's yet to play a game, but it's the big American bloke that Collingwood got in the ruck, Mason Cox.
Ooh, tell us about it. What's he been like?
Look, I've watched him at training and I've watched him in the reserves games. Now, here he is. He's 211 centimetres high. And in 9 games of football, he's been in the best players twice already, which is a pretty big effort.
Can you see him? Is he progressed enough to actually play a game this year, you think, Mark?
No, I don't think he'll get in front of Witts and
Grundy
this year. But I can tell you, I think that what will happen in the end is that Witts will be offered as trade because Cox is going to make it. He's had no doubts about it. He's going to make it, and they won't want the extra ruckman, and I reckon they'll trade Witts.
Okay.
And he's coming along so fast.
Former central defender, and then he turned into a basketballer. So he's got real coordination.
Got great hands, takes a really
good
mark.
Can he kick the ball?
Kicks straighter than most big men.
Now, what about our man? He's the new Spencer White, Matty Sharenberg. We hear he just keeps coming along well in the twos.
Well,
there.
I've been watching Sharenberg too. He played his best game for us on the weekend. And look, with all these programs after injuries and all that, they're just expected to just build up. Well, look, I can tell you, I watched them against Casey a couple of weeks ago. The back line, the half-back line for Collingwood, maybe before the end of this year, might read Moore, Reed and Sharenberg.
Just on our man Spencer White, Kevin, the abominable snowman, he's disappeared again. Hadn't played for the last couple of weeks. The club says he's got a bit of a sore ankle, but there is some conjecture about that. He's been playing the development league, which is basically threes.
Development league.
Yes. They haven't got a lot of injuries, so you know people are back on the rookie list. You've got to push some players back. But
hang on. You're saying he's not getting a game in the...
Not playing for Sandringham.
For Sandringham.
Playing for their reserves, which, as I say, some people have to.
Too many players playing in the...
Yes.
For Sandringham.
But he hasn't gone that well there. You know, maybe he hasn't been happy to play there.
If I was Spence and I was back playing in the thirds, I wouldn't be that excited.
So some people are saying, look, I don't know if he's cracked the SADs or not, but... he's a long way from AFL action.
Okay. The keeper is in Ivanhoe. G'day, keeper.
How you going, Kev? All right?
Good. Going great. You got a most improved player for us?
Oh, yeah. You actually play for his father, Morris, from the Tigers.
Stephen Morris?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kevin's not a big fan of Stephen Morris. I'm not sure you're going to get some praise.
No, I'm a fan of Stephen Morris.
He thinks he's the worst player in the AFL.
No, I don't. Now, you're just making that up.
I may have put words in your mouth.
Yes. I think Stephen's a better defender than he is forward, and I understand what the club is doing, and he's there to put pressure on the opposition, and he certainly will attempt to do that. But I think that he's got to make certain that that's not just his total focus. Because I know people say, go there and put pressure on, put pressure on, put pressure on. But at the same time, yes, do that. But I'd like to see a few more goals coming from Stephen
Morris. He's in a rich vein of form. He's kicked goals in the previous 2 weeks, having kicked only two in the previous 7 weeks before that. Look, I do agree with what you say, but his defensive pressure is massive.
Yes, but I think if we're talking about winning flags and premierships and beating the best side, have that defensive pressure, but try and add, he's not the perfect player, try and add, you know, goal kicking to that role as well. You know, I see Puopolo, you know, puts pressure on all the time, but he bobs up and he'll kick three in a game. You know, that sort of thing. That's all I'm saying.
My problem is, I don't know that he's talented enough to kick those goals. And look, I love him as a player. I love his intent. I'm not critical of him like you. My point
is... I'm not critical. I'm just saying there's room for improvement.
But if he's not talented enough to kick goals, he's never going to kick a snap from 30 metres. He's never going to kick one over his head
like Nick
Greenwald.
He might be talented enough. What I'm saying is, I would hope that the young player doesn't just focus on applying pressure all the time and then forgets about another role that he can actually play, and that is to kick goals as well. So I know when they went there, they said put pressure on and all that sort of stuff. And he's tried very hard to do that in the first part of the season, but hardly touched the ball, by the way.
No, I do agree with
two
that.
Or three kicks or possessions a game.
Had 11 last week, Kevin, the week before.
Well, that's very good.
It's an avalanche.
That's very good. But what I'm saying is give some thought to the other aspects of your game as well. That's all. We'll take a break.
On 11.16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
And the famous three stings, of course, from the Buzz, Johnny Ralph. We'll come back and we'll take more of your calls. Darren's going to be the first cab off the rank. Ralphie, your famous three stings.
All those New South Wales and Queensland fans who filtered into the MCG last night and booed Ron Clark's moment of silence or minute of silence. Now, they couldn't have been Victorians, could they? Because Victorians understand that that moment is really filled with gravity. I think we set them up to fail a bit. You know, you get boozed up all afternoon, you've caught the bus down or the train or a flight, and then you, I don't really know who this is. So they should have shut their traps. But as you've said, we should have had a minute of amazing highlights of all those 17 world records. And we all should have clapped and stood on our feet and said, bravo, what a superstar. 78 years, filled so much into his life. Let's celebrate. Let's not be somber. But in the same token, you can't boo him or you can't yell or you can't scream or whatever they did. My second sting is for Daniel Cross. And they had 41 seconds left Melbourne against St Kilda on Sunday night. He came off the bench, so he was one of the few players who knew exactly how much time was left. He pushed a halfback and he pushed his teammate up to the wing. So rather than saying, mate, you stay here and you're a player, I will go back, he's played an amazing role marking in defence in the last 10 weeks. So he's the perfect man to be the Lucy, and yet he just...
Why was he getting a sting, though? Wasn't his fault that the other players didn't all push back, surely?
He was the one coming off the bench that should have been saying, hey, blokes, don't worry about going up to the wing. All of us need to sprint back. When Alan Richardson's side kicked that goal, he said, I only want two forwards. Everyone else get back into the back line. And so the players who were, you know, obviously Jimmy Tumpas trailed the ball in, et cetera, et cetera. Cross was the one who knew exactly how much time was left. He was the senior leader in defence who should have been able to drag some blokes back. But as it turned out, he pushed a bloke out to the wing where that person was largely irrelevant. So we love Crossy. We love everything about him. But he didn't make that moment a winner.
Okay. Poor old Daniel Cross carrying the can for the entire Melbourne Football Club for not flooding back. That's a tough sting.
No, well, okay. At least it's for a
senior
player.
Dad of Origin gets a big tick. Question mark over Cross.
Daniel Wells gets a sting as well.
Not even playing. How can you get a sting and you're not even playing?
I don't know that he wants
to
play.
How tough's that?
Look, I understand that he's a Rolls Royce, as Brad
Scott
says.
What do you mean
Scott
he doesn't want to play?
Well, he doesn't seem to be doing the rehab. He doesn't seem to be ramping up his rehab in a way that would push his body to get him back as quickly as possible. Now, Daniel believes that he needs to be absolutely 100% to play because he's been criticised when he's played less than 100%. And yet, I've seen him come back even when he's been half fit, and he makes a difference. He's got polish, he's got class, he's got dash, he's got run, he's got all the things there.
What's his problem?
And it's an Achilles.
Achilles, right. Okay. Now, I think that was the day we were calling that game. It might have been round two, when Del Santo went down with a bit of a small twinge, they said, after the game. I think Brad Scott said, small twinge.
Yes, they cut his leg off afterwards and reattached it.
Mm-hmm. They believe he'll play the following week, yes. I think they said, down at
Melbourne. I don't know.
Hasn't played since, by the way.
No, he's playing this weekend.
He's playing this weekend. And I think Wells hurt himself that day as well. So he's got an Achilles. Now, the other bloke had a hamstring, had to have a minor operation on his hamstring. But those Achilles are very debilitating injuries. So, gee, that's a bit tough to suggest that, what, he's not pushing himself to get back and play. What started all this?
Well, Damien Barrett wrote a story about it yesterday, and Damien Barrett is on the Footy Show with the president. So I would assume that Damien, I'm sure he gets his mail from a lot of different places, but Damien doesn't get him wrong. And as I say, if he thought that was incorrect, he probably would have tapped the president on the shoulder and say, hey, mate, am I on the wrong chain here or not?
Okay, because anyway, it's on the Footy Show.
Yes. Anyway, my point is that Damien doesn't get North Melbourne stories wrong. And so what we've heard for a long time is that this bloke is not prepared to push himself. Damien says that maybe he won't play again. Now, that might happen. That
may not play again because...
In North Melbourne colours. He doesn't.
North Melbourne colours.
He doesn't believe that he's pushing himself.
So he's trade bait.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's contracted to the end of 2016. Anyway, the people that I speak to say that he could be ramping up his rehab. Wayne Ludby said to me yesterday, he was down at North Melbourne, our photographer, he said he was rolling around in about first gear. He's not doing enough work to really push himself. Now, it's stupid to compare every player out there to Wayne Carey. Wayne Carey played with more pain than anyone could imagine. But every player has to play with some level of pain. Now, clearly, when they describe him as a Rolls Royce...
Well, he's quick. He's got pace, which is what North Melbourne needs.
No, but what they're also saying is that he's a Rolls Royce. You got to play him at 100%. There's some players out there. There's a few Combis out there. There's a few Holdens out there that you just play them and you just get them out there. They're a bit busted up. But as the coach himself has said, we can't play him unless he's 100%. Now, that's got to say something about his mental strength. I'd love to see him push out there. Look, Brett Deledio came back from Achilles last year. He wasn't fully fit, but he did important things for Richmond because he's got things that others haven't. He's got class. He's a finisher. Wells is all those things. He needs to push as hard as he possibly can because he might be the difference between him making finals or not.
Well, a very tough three stings. You can always make a comment about that. 942-9-11-16-04-33-98-11-16. I agree with the State of Origin crowd and the noise they made during the minute silence. But Daniel Cross and Daniel Wells getting stings.
Didn't get the feeble-minded, the faint of heart.
No, we'll
took out some scalps, hopefully, Kevin.
We'll come back after the break. Well, you're getting smashed off the message bank here. North Melbourne fans think you're very, very tough on Daniel Wells, and Achilles is a very debilitating injury.
People within
and
the club,
they
the
feel
coach
that
himself,
those comments are very, very harsh.
People within the club, the coaches himself have said he needs to be at absolutely 100%. I think if North Melbourne supporters think that he's doing everything possible, well, that's fine.
Well, I'm quickly going to get to Darren from Watsonia. G'day, Darren.
G'day, boys. A couple of quick ones from Geelong. Yep. I think that Jackson Furlough and Jed Buse have been brilliant this year, but none better than Mark Blitzhalves have improved. And I would consider, I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, I would consider trading Stevie Motlop, but the caveat is it's got to be for a top 10 draft pick from A-Club. What do you think?
I agree.
Tigers are interested in Stevie Motlop.
They are. And the Tigers might not have a top 10 pick. I agree. You get rid of Motlop if it was absolute cream because it's not a great draft. I've spoken to Busey. He's in the paper on Saturday. What a ripper young kid.
I've been told that in Richmond's last four games they've spoiled a 100-game, 200-game, 300-game and a 400-game milestone. Is anyone playing their 500th game for West Coast this week? Buzz, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget, Daniel Harford's on his way. He's got a cracking show and the boys on the run home, Marco and the Ox. And don't forget, Thursday night football on 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.